The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Push the button.
Welcome to a reality NSFW. This is the Deep Dive Podcast. We're talking Survivor Season 41, episode number 6. I'm your host, Lauren Pratt, along with my co-host, Alex Rubino.
Hello. And today we just have an incredible guest. She was born a fraternal twin to her brother, Don. She graduated from Georgia Southern University with a degree in psychology. She is married to her wonderful husband, Glenn, and has two kids, Tyler and Ellie. She's a 40-year Delta flight attendant. She's run marathons, including one while she was 9 months pregnant. Oh, by the way, she played Survivor Africa the third season, coming in fifth place, winning 7 challenges, making it all the way to day 36, and survived the first ever tribe swap. She has been described by friends as the, quote, most kissing survivor you'll ever meet, and is probably the biggest fan of the Georgia Bulldogs and the Atlanta Braves that I've ever met in my life. Our guest is the one, the only, Teresa T-Bird Cooper. T-Bird, how are you?
Hey, Alex. Great introduction. How sweet was that? Thank you. Hey, Lauren. Thanks for having me. I know, Alex, we tried to hook up, that we would hook up today of all days, Halloween weekend, in between two huge games. We've got the Georgia-Florida game going on right now in the background, and then a few hours away from the fourth game of the World Series with the Astros and the Atlanta Braves. So what a great day. A lot happened down here in Georgia.
Oh, yes. I was trying to channel a little bit of my T-Bird in that intro. I told Lauren, if we ever get T-Bird on, I have to go all the full T-Bird. And T-Bird, you didn't give me a lot of time to do my research and go all T-Bird, but I did the best I could.
Alex, thank you. And thank you so much for throwing me in at the last minute.
Oh my goodness. Thank you for coming. This is amazing. I mean, I think Lauren and I haven't stopped smiling since we talked to you. But just overall, T-Bird, what are you thinking of the season? What did you think of the quote unquote merge episode?
Oh, we're jumping right on into Survivor. Okay.
Yeah, let's do it.
Alex, that's good. So, Alex, I guess I needed to have watched the show, right?
Yes.
Lauren, your look is priceless. Okay, I did watch the show.
Yes,
now,
I know.
However, you guys, Lauren and Alex, I watched it at a Survivor viewing party here in Atlanta at the Ron Clark Academy.
Yes.
It was fantastic. It's the first viewing party we've had since everything's gone a little bit crazy. So, you know, when you're watching at a viewing party, you're not watching it probably quite as closely as you would if you're at home. So, with that being said, I liked the show. It was great. And it was especially great because we were watching it, you guys, with Survivor fans, also watching it with Sharia Lloyd from China. Oh, I cannot leave anybody out. Missy Bird from, you guys help me out. Missy Bird
Island
from
of the Idols.
You know, this season. Thank you. Thank you, Alex. Missy Bird, Island of the Idols. Rick Devens. Go. What's the season? Come on, help me out.
Edge of Extinction.
Edge of Extinction.
Thank you, Lauren. Jump in anytime. Okay, Rick Evans, Edge of Extinction, and Davies. I know that David and Goliath.
There you go.
There you go.
Davies, and of course, Ron Clark from Island of the Idols, right?
Edge of Extinction, close enough. Close enough.
Yeah,
You're one season off.
He was okay. Yeah, well, yes. Hey, that's not bad for me. Just went off.
Yeah. I gotta say,
it was great.
It was. Seeing all the pictures of you guys on Twitter and Instagram made me so jealous that I didn't live in Atlanta. And also, I loved your popcorn outfit, I must say. When I was wondering, like, what is T-Bird going to be? And then I saw your popcorn, I'm like, oh, well, I should have thought of that. That seems so natural for you. Yes.
Alex, you're going to find this to be kind of funny. So I asked Davies, and I said, well, we knew it was costume party. So I sent Davey a message and I said, what should I wear? He said, well, we're trying to stay with the theme for this season, which is the monster theme. Well, Okay. Come on, you guys. I've yet to see a monster. So I'm thinking, I'm not quite sure how to dress because I've not seen a monster yet. So I kept thinking, I don't know what I'm going to be, because last year, Davies was a devil. Fantastic. If you look at the pictures, Davies was a devil. And I thought, oh, God, I can't be a devil. I was a devil like the year before at our Halloween watch party. I'm like, well, that would have been perfect, but I've already done it. So I thought, I don't even know about a monster. I'm just going to have to go ahead and go as popcorn. So that was it.
So you thought popcorn was the monster then?
No, I just, what I was thinking, Lauren, was like, for Survivor, for me, I thought, since I have a thing going with popcorn on the Talking with T-Bird, I thought I'd just kind of stay with the popcorn theme. Yes. So I had. I didn't know.
No, it was great.
So anyway,
it was great.
It was a great viewing party. Thank you. It was a great viewing party. Ron Clark Academy, he threw it. He was an unbelievable host. And watching it on the big screen in an auditorium was absolutely fantastic. So, overall, what did I think about the season? I mean, or not the season, the show, or the season so far. You know, you hate to be voted off as a player, right? You would imagine you'd hate to be voted off as a player. But as a fan, when you're watching, you kind of wait for that. It's like, who's getting voted out? You know, who's getting voted out? Well, when, at the very opening, when Prope said, you know, there was going to be nobody voted out tonight, did he whisper that to us, kind of like game behind the game and everything?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, it was the fourth wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, him breaking the fourth wall as he's been doing throughout this entire season.
Okay. So what do y'all think about that?
The fourth wall?
First, second, third, fourth, any wall. Him kind of jumping in and talking. And it's like all of a sudden there he is. And okay, so
you let us know how you feel.
Yeah, go for it.
I'm not big on it. It's a distraction for me. I'm all about the players. I'm all about the social game. I'm all about watching the players interact with one another. So that's a distraction for me. Just like too many idols, too many advantages. Huge distraction for me, because to follow that, I'm a player. Well, you know what I mean. I was a player. As a player, I should be able to follow what's going on. But this season, especially, you guys, there's been times when we had the three-part idol about the broccoli and the goat on AstroTurf and the dead relatives and all that. I had to figure that out. I finally got that figured out. And then there were some more idols, and then there were some more stuff. So, you guys, I really don't really know what's happening with all that. I like it a little bit more simplified. I like an idol or two to be thrown in. I like different things because I know they want to keep it fresh. But too much of that gets a little bit too much.
Yeah. I noticed during the episode, I saw Lauren actually tweet out that you were taking notes, which, for those who don't know, Lauren, you never take notes.
Oh no.
I have copious notes I have like pages and pages of notes. So I'm used to this. But I literally watched the episode and said, I'm not sure I caught everything. But I did actually like him breaking the fourth wall here, because he hadn't done it, I don't think, much after episode two. So I was like, all right, he's doing this once, it's a nice change of pace. And he did it to introduce the twist, which frankly, I think we needed a little bit with how complicated it was. So I didn't mind that. But I do understand the consensus from UT where in a lot of people that like they didn't like not seeing somebody voted out, which is understandable.
Well, and not only that, you know, you kind of, you wait that full hour to see it come together at tribal council, and we didn't see that, but
yeah,
I like that what we've got going on with Erica. By the way, I love Erica. I think she's absolutely adorable. I love her. And we got to see a lot about a lot of Erica, a lot of Erica's story. So I really, really like that. But then at the end, we don't get to see what Erica does until next week. So it was kind of a buildup, which I understand they want to do that. But I guess I wanted a little bit more since we didn't get anybody voted out. Maybe if she had decided to tell them what she was going to do, then cut it off from there to keep everybody, you know, maybe just getting the reaction of the other players and then taking it out. I just wanted a little bit more. But it was a great night because I was with all the Survivor fans.
Yeah.
Right. I think the biggest issue for me with the entire episode is they could have made it 2 hours or 90 minutes because I really want to see a vote because there was so much that happened in this episode in particular where us getting to a vote, seeing everyone strategize, come together for the first time, it could have been epic. It could have been crazy. And I think the biggest thing as well is if I'm Erica and Jeff's there, I'm smashing it right then and there.
Oh,
I don't even care. I'm hitting it right there because guess what? I need safety. And she's just in a tough spot to begin with, regardless if she smashes it or she doesn't smash it. So at that point, just save yourself.
Yeah. I think especially you can smash. Oh, good.
Go ahead, Alex. Go ahead.
Oh,
I'm just saying about talking. You gotta stop me.
No, you're good. I would, yeah, like Lauren, I would smash it right before he even leaves. I'd say, oh, wait, there's one outcome where I'm safe. There's one outcome where I'm not safe. I'm already stuck here in a bad position. No, Jeff, give me the hammer. Like, I would literally pry it out of his hands and be like, no, we're done. I'm safe. Call it a day. I don't care about anybody else.
And that sounds all, and Alex, that sounds all fine and good, and Lauren, but guess what? They didn't want her to smash it then.
Oh, yeah.
Because they wanted to be able, so you remember, you've got Jeff there, and then you've got a producer there, and you got a camera person there, and they're, you know, I think he made it clear. I'm sure he said, whoa, you know, hey, don't do it now, because they're working up to that. So, yeah, it would have been even really cuter if she just wrapped it, smashed it down.
That's what I'm saying.
Do that yet.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, at that point, I know they want to wait for a decision to actually be made, but if she has her mind made up right then and there, rip it out of the hand, smash that thing and say, guess what, Jeff, I'm safe. What now?
She is the scapegoat of production. She can literally say, hey, production made the twist this way. One route where I'm safe, one route where I'm not. I want to be safe. I'm sorry, everybody. And that's it. But just to, I think, let me make sure. Reset like kind of the rules of this twist because I'm not even sure I had all of it right. So they were split up. They go to this challenge. They're split up into two teams of five, and then two people draw these like gray rocks randomly. So Erica and Nasir don't get to compete in the I don't know what you want to call it, immunity challenge, whatever challenge it is. The winning team is told they're safe. They're told they get the merge buff, which is this little thing right here, which apparently I earned. I don't know how I earned it, but I earned it by buying it on the CBS website, I guess. And then they're also safe. But then Erica's power is that she can reverse history and flip it on its head where the people who lost the challenge are safe, including her. Yeah. And the people who won the challenge got to save Nasir with them and let him enjoy the feast. So... yeah, that's the twist.
So, Alex, I was actually hoping that they were going to pick Erica to go with them. And then let Nasir go over to the island by himself. Because I love Nasir also, by the way. And Nasir's got it covered. He's going to be entertaining us with all of his Survivor skills over there. And it's going to be amazing. It's going to be like fantastic. So you know, he's another one that I really, really like. And I guess I can absolutely see why Danny decided to do rock, paper, scissors. By the way, one of my favorite games, I must say. So I was glad that Danny mentioned that. Although we all know that's not how it happened. He pretty much said we had to come up with something. Because I can see absolutely why they want to keep the guys together, because the guys are dwindling a little bit faster. So I definitely understood that. But I still was hoping it would be Nasir. And not to be mean or anything, just because I knew he'd have it. He would show us things we've never seen on Survivor as far as surviving. So
I absolutely agree with you. And what I want to say is I actually think the better decision for those Luvu people would have been to absolutely send Nasir there, because Nasir comes across to me as a player that if you bring him back in with you, once you already send him to an exile, you can have that conversation, get him back on your side. But Erica, you can even see it in her face. She can tell, all right, I'm on the outs, and she comes across to me as someone, you know what? They didn't want me anyway. I'm going to go flip the script and work with all these other people. Whereas Nasir comes across to me as someone you can easily bring back in a lot easier than Erica.
Yeah, I think I'm getting sick of you and I agreeing on everything, Lauren, because this isn't what we do, but I agree completely with you. The right, also for the reason of if you send Nasir, you send somebody, at least in Danny and Deshaun's case, who you have a little bit of a relationship with to this island, so that they're all expecting her to get an idol or advantage or some power. The power then is a lot less likely to be used against you in that instance. Sure, if Nasir went there, he probably would have saved himself anyway, but there's a chance he doesn't, or there's a chance of whatever the power ends up being, that it could be in the hands of Danny and Deshaun instead of now. It's almost certainly being used against them. And yeah, sure, Erica isn't going to be like your best ally ever, but you can placate her for a vote, get her on your side, and then afterwards just be like, all right, Erica, we've had enough of you. But yeah, T-Bird, what are you thinking about all this? What would you have done?
You mean as far as if I had been, well, right away, I'm thinking about going over like what Erica did, and I think it's proved to, when you say what would I've done, you mean as far as who I would have picked to go over there?
Yes.
Or, yeah, if you were on with, that group that won.
Well, I'm a female, so probably I would have wanted to keep Erica, but, I mean, it's hard to say, because I'm not sure, I don't know what kind of relationships I would have built with whoever I would have been with at the time to really know. Because, you know, the good thing, Lauren and Alex, or the bad thing, you know, the game changes so frequently, and you kind of, now old school, you could kind of play more or less with your alliance. And now with the new school, it plays a lot faster, and there are a lot more changes going on. So, you know, it's hard to know. You really now in the new school game, you have to be playing every day. You have to make decisions every day based on your gameplay for that day, which is kind of fun. And always, too, you don't really want to be separated from the group, because you know that kind of puts you at a disadvantage, because just like you heard, I guess, was it Shan and them talking about, we got to get rid of Erica because she's going to come back with an advantage, or she's going to come back. As a player, I always thought it would be a kind of a neat thing to go off and experience a night or two totally alone, completely surviving, and have that, you know, in your memory for once the game's over. But it's kind of like going on a reward challenge, even though this was not a reward challenge. It's like going on a reward challenge. You get separated from the group and everybody's talking, and that's not, you know, you don't want to be spotlighted because of that.
100% agree with you. And I like the reward challenge example, because if you have allies, you typically, say you're the one picking who goes on the road, you don't want to bring all your allies with you and leave everyone else at camp to strategize. which is why I think it would have been so beneficial for the guys to send Nasir to exile. And not only can he fend for himself, and you can make that argument easily, but he gets something. He's likely using it for you. Yes. So do we want to – so these teams – oh, go ahead, T-Bird.
But we can make that argument about Nasir. But remember, sure. Because we, here in the audience, we know his background.
Oh, yeah.
We know, you know, about him growing up in Sri Lanka, his living conditions. We know that. I don't know that the people playing with him know that, because even when he jumped in to start fire that first or second episode, he was very laid back about that. He's like, well, let me try. No, and that for him is an ordinary thing for him. So I don't know that people realize that he's as good as he is as a, you know, with survival, with his survival skills. So, okay, go ahead.
Well, I actually, I do agree with you, but I somewhat disagree a little bit. I think as the game has progressed, people have seen little snippets of what Nasir can actually do with gathering food for them, starting the fire rather quickly. So I think at the beginning, yes, people might not have recognized it as much, but as the game has gone on, I think people know that, yes, Nasir is someone that can actually survive on his own and doesn't need anybody else.
Yep.
Right.
So this, let's get to this, talk about this challenge for a minute, because I actually thought it was somewhat interesting of a challenge to do. So there's, first of all, they have to pick rocks to form these teams, which honestly, I would always prefer if they're going to pick teams, have them do a schoolyard pick, just because it gives the players more choices and it makes more enemies out of people. But they didn't do that. So his two teams that we have to get to know for the next episode and a half are on the yellow team, Xander, Heather, Liana, Tiffany, and Shan. And yes, I had to write these down to get them right.
So the David team, essentially.
Yes, essentially the underdogs, who are likely now going to be safe, assuming Erica smashes the hourglass. The blue team, the team that won the challenge and is likely going to tribal now, because that makes sense, is Danny, Ricard, Sydney, Deshaun, and Evie. And then Nasir is with them, and Erica is with the yellow team. So what we're looking at next episode, assuming Erica smashes the urn, is a tribal council of all 12 people voting, which is interesting, but the only 6 people eligible to go home. I mean, it's going to be 5 after one of them wins immunity, but the 6 right now are Danny, Ricard, Sydney, Deshaun, Evie, and Nasir. So that is an interesting group, I got to say. But yeah, T-Bird, what do you think about that group of 6?
Well, for one thing, I should have written those names down as you were saying them, because I didn't. And I know now, look, I've got my little list of the Lavu, the Yasa, and the Ua. Look, I have this, but not from the new tribe. So this is not going to help me at all here, right here. So we'll just put that over to the side. Well, I think we're going to see, I guess, probably a female go, just because now we've got the guys are trying to stick together because they realize that the girls are voting the guys out. So I think we're going to see a female going. So let's narrow it down. We got Sham. We've got who else? We've got Effie. Right.
So on the blue.
So you just have Sydney. You have Sydney and Evie
on the blue team.
On the blue team, that would be if Erica smashes, theoretically in trouble.
Okay, so let's say she smashes. I hope she does. I hope.
Oh, me too.
All right, so that means we've got Sydney or Effie. Evie.
Yep.
I say it wrong. Effie.
Okay. Yep, you got it.
Oh, yep.
Evie. I don't know. I don't know. Hadn't Sydney been causing a little dissension there, or have they discovered her yet? Throwing in, you know, the dissension. And I know they've shown her a little bit because, you know, still watching the editing will help sometimes who's getting that editing. So it seems like didn't they show Sydney some? I guess I'm going to go with Sydney. Are we trying to figure out one next week?
Yeah, that's kind of what we're doing. And I think I'll make the case for why I think Sydney could be in trouble in particular is because she went in this episode to multiple people and was like, Erica needs to go. Also, I really don't like Heather either, but it has to be Erica. And I think if Erica comes back safe, which she should realistically, people can easily go to Erica and say, guess what? Sydney was throwing your name out, even though other people did as well. But that's an easy target to pin it on from there. So I think Sydney could be in trouble. Yeah. I'm also not going to take Evie off the table if we're talking that maybe one of the girls could go home, because I do think that Evie has been threatening throughout this entire season thus far, and maybe people will catch on to it and say, you know what, there's only a small amount of people to choose from at the moment, and we might as well get rid of her now.
Maybe it's my famous last words, but I don't see Evie going anywhere this episode, this coming week, no matter, even with this group of six being eligible and all of them voting. I still think she has the connections with the old Yasa people. All three of them seem to really trust her. And I think Evie is a person who just gets along with people really well. You see the minute they're on the island making relationships. She's talking to Sydney. I saw her talking to Danny and to Sean at points. I think Evie's got – I don't think she's completely safe, and this is more vulnerable than we've seen her before, but I do think she's in a relatively good position.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards Sydney, definitely.
Yeah.
I just like to try and make arguments for both.
Yeah.
But I will also say, I just think this next episode is going to be crucial for so many people's games, because the merge vote makes or breaks the game for so many different people, because if they get rid of the wrong person, their game can be absolutely done.
For sure. Yeah. Another thing I really liked about this episode, despite the twist maybe not being my cup of tea, even though parts of it I do like, is once the challenge ends and we have the whole episode until the end when Jeff does his little hourglass shenanigan, is people at camp getting to know each other. And we're seeing a little bit of these new dynamics starting to form with like Shannon Liana from doing the journey together and them reconnecting with Tiffany and seeing that threesome, Sydney and Tiffany talking. We're seeing all these people getting together, and I think it's so interesting. And we now get another episode of it, which I don't know. Like, I always wanted the merge episode to be longer in Survivor just because it's such a powerful episode and so much happens. Maybe not this way, but you know what? I'll take that benefit that we're getting 2 hours of the merge with all 12 of these people in the game. And yeah, I don't know. I think the door is wide open for not just this vote, but well past it, which is really exciting to me because I'm really looking forward to the merge with this group intact.
T-Bird, do you think any people in particular made blunders this episode that could actually hurt them for future episodes going forward?
Oh, gosh. You know, I'm a little bit concerned, you know, after watching Shan, the way Shan seems to play. Liana has been my winner pick. I actually, Dalton Ross and Rick Devins, and I did a little football podcast with them, and they nailed me down on my winner pick. And I went with Liana because she's so strong. She's such strong physically, as far as she's a strong swimmer. She's very, to me, she seems very non-threatening. And so Liana's my winner pick. But then when I saw her bonding with Shan, that worried me because Shan's such a player. And I think with Shan, I think maybe she'll let people go. I think she's playing day by day. And as far as a long-term relationship with somebody, I think if they're not beneficial to her game, she'll let them go. So I'm worried about Liana now because I know Shan is such a player. And probably the worst thing you can do, as much as you want to, Lauren and Alex, is to trust somebody, which she seemed to, because they've got so much in common. I'm a little bit worried about Liana. I do like a la Big Brother with the cookout. You know, we're seeing the players form a bond, which is really a neat thing. It's going to be really interesting to watch that play out. And I'm going to say, go out on a limb, you know, with the Big Brother cookout, none of them turned. None of them turned on each other. And when you're playing a game for, well, for Big Brother, it was, I guess, what, 750,000 or a million, or sometimes just for the title with no money involved. You know, it's hard to find loyalty. People are always first looking at David. With this group, I don't think the loyalty, we're going to see the loyalty like we did with Big Brother cookout, with the Survivor, you know, cookout number two.
Yeah.
Right, for sure. Because on obviously, any game that you play, there's so many different reasons on how people bond with each other. People can bond, like, just because they had the same job as somebody else. So it's great that we can finally see on our television screen how people are coming together and have like different backgrounds. And it's, I think Shan was the one that said it. It's just like, this is the most diverse that she's ever seen it. And I love to see it as well. But I do want to make one quick point, because I asked you about like some blunders potentially. And I also want to bring up the situation with Ricard and Shan.
Ooh.
Because I actually think Shan played this very, very incorrectly, where now Ricard's going to take a little bit of a pause on her, simply because I think Shan should have let Ricard keep that advantage, because then knowledge is power. We all know this. Shan knows that Ricard has that, and Ricard knows what Shan has as well as other people within the game, because the idol situation was so extreme. But I think by Shan asking for that back from Ricard makes Ricard say, you know what? I don't think Shan's fully on board with me. If Shan would have let him keep it, I think their relationship going into this merge would be a lot stronger than what it is.
Can I posit one thing on that? I think they both screwed up. Flat out, at this point, they know they're down to two in this tribe. They've made it four votes together. And I think what Ricard said is relatively true. If they're really that tight, it shouldn't matter who has it. So I think Shan asking for it, I get why she did. I don't like the way she did it. Made her look like she wasn't trusting Ricard. Ricard's response of not just saying, here you go, like, take it, makes him look bad. And I also think Shan didn't know about the knowledge is power advantage at that point. She didn't know what it, she knew Liana had an advantage, or at least was almost certain she did, didn't know what it was. Ricard also knows that. Ricard knows Liana has some advantage and can assume, at least maybe can assume, that because Liana and Shan went and did that journey together, that they have at least some connection that he doesn't have to anybody else in the game. And I get where he's coming from, of being worried that Shan has the extra vote and the immunity idol, but the both of them just, like, at a point, it's like they both, I think, needed to suck it up a little, and neither of them, I feel like, did. And T-Bird, maybe you can tell me if I'm wrong. I feel like that's maybe day 11, day 12 without food and just kind of it getting to you, and you don't have the patience you did on day one or two. But I do want, yeah, what's your take on that whole thing?
Oh, so, okay. Yeah, okay, Alex and Lauren. I think that Ricard and Shan are probably two of the strongest players out there. You know, I know they called JD a super fan, but he was doing some things as far as somebody that's a super fan would know probably might not want to do when you're giving somebody else your idol to hold. As far as Shan and Ricard, I think they're both so competitive. I think they were brought together. They're both very strong personalities. I think at any time, what's probably going to be one of the most interesting things we see in the next few episodes or whatever happens is when they turn on each other, because I think it could happen anytime. But I think it could have happened before the idol, because I think they both know neither one of them want to be sitting with the other at the end. They're too strong. They're very competitive players, and they know exactly what they're doing, and they're using each other to get as far as they can get. Now we're seeing they're not together anymore. So I think their story play out is going to be, I think, one of the best and most exciting.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's spot on. I just think my biggest issue is they're both very aware that the other one is super, super strategic. And so I think you need to minimize how much you kind of talk with each other and the way that they were talking to each other, because the tone that both of them had was not good at all. And you could just see in Ricard's face, in Shan's face, the frustration. And so if you're moving forward and going with a larger group of people, and you can just easily just slip up and say something wrong about the other person, and that'll get maybe people saying, all right, I guess they're not together. Why don't we use that information against them? And I want to backtrack a little bit. When I said knowledge is power, I wasn't talking about that advantage in particular. I was just talking about, like, hey, she has this information and knows all of this. So that's what I was talking about, not the advantage Liana has.
I think it's almost like going back to the beginning days of Survivor, T-Bird, even when you played, if you break someone's trust, even once, you're not getting it back. And I think, like, with you and Frank, for example, if you two had at any point really crossed each other, you wouldn't have been as tight as you ended up being. Tommy and Lauren, another example, more recently. This is, I think, almost could be the nail in the coffin for Ricard and Shannon. Not, like, the moment, either of them, like, the way they particularly reacted, but just them having this fight and both of them not being willing to budge, I think, is going to have really bad impacts for them both down the line. And if they're not careful, it really just could sink them both instead of helping each other, which I think is a little unfortunate, just given how good they both are at the game. But yeah, I mean, it's like Survivor 101. If you're going to have your number one ally, you need to have complete trust in them. Not anything should be able to break it. Nevertheless, disagreement of who's holding an idol or advantage.
Well, and Alex and Lauren, we saw when, I guess it was last week, the episode before this one, where Shan was having that bond at that moment with Liana, and she made sure to say, if I'm gone, do not trust Ricard. She's already planting, she's already didn't trust him. So see, that's what I'm saying. Their two characters are so strong, and, you know, I think what Shan's got going for her is that she's a female. And what I think of her is because she's a pastor. And it's very easy to take titles and then stereotype that person that you don't know. Because when you hear pastor, you think of, you know what you think of usually. You know, you think of somebody that's going to be looking out for each other, you know, sensitive to other people. And I can tell you right now, you can tell Shan is out there to play. And I think we're going to see her utilizing that to her favor, which certainly everybody uses. You know, a lot of people make up their professions. Some people don't even say what their professions are because they're feeling like they're going to be too much of a threat if they're, you know, professional football player. Look at Danny. I mean, Danny was a ex-NFL player, I believe.
Yep.
So I think Shan's going to have the advantage because she's a female, a pastor, and people aren't going to see her coming. And I think that's going to be very much her strong, what's going to carry her through. And I think at the end, I'll tell you who it's going to remind me of. Do you remember Brian? Well, I won't even make that analogy, but I think Shan's going to have the advantage over Ricard. But I think they're just ready to go come after each other at any time because I don't think either one trusts each other.
Can I counter that real quick? Because I actually disagree. I think that Ricard has a little bit of the upper hand, and here's why.
Oh.
Shan's going to be able to go and make those emotional connections with everyone, which she is fabulous at. She's good at getting to know other people, them getting to know her. Here's my issue. Ricard has seen Shan make all those emotional connections with singular people, and then one by one, send all of them getting their torch snuffed. So Ricard has seen it firsthand. He can utilize that information and say, I've seen Shan do this far too many times. She gets super close to someone, gets that emotional connection, and sends them right out the door. So I think Ricard has a little bit of an upper hand if he utilizes that information and goes to people and says, I've seen this already.
My concern is that Chan has already started making these bonds even before he could. And two, everybody who's pretty much been aligned with Chan knows she has all the power at this point, and they don't care. They know that, like, oh, Shan's my number one. She's good. And I absolutely think she can continue this. And if Ricard doesn't play his hand, I think, almost perfectly, then they're just going to be like, well, we'll just get rid of Ricard then. And also, currently, with Ricard giving Shan the extra route, she has the idol, she has the extra route, and she knows where the bodies are buried. She knows about Liana's advantage. I mean, she, like, I guess pretty much everybody knows about all the idols at this point. So my concern is, I think she's a bit more tactical than Ricard. And I also think she has more of an advantage in gaining allies. So, boy, am I scared for Ricard all of a sudden. All
right, so. Yeah, well, but this is what Ricard has going for him. He's playing behind her. He's a little frustrated that he's not getting the Ricard, I love you. Ricard's flight attendant. I gotta love Ricard, he's a flight attendant. You wanna be playing behind somebody. Because if you're not, you're gonna be targeted. Just like, you know, Ethan played behind Lex in Africa. And you saw what a target Lex was the whole time. Nobody ever mentioned Ethan. Didn't have to. Lex was taking all the hits for him. So, and Ethan knew exactly be okay with not getting credit for these big moves. Let Shan have them because that's what people are going to notice when they start targeting these stronger players. So well, that will help Ricard.
Well, and also next week's going to be even more interesting because think about it. If that group that just won the challenge thinks that they're safe, but Erica's going to smash it, we're assuming so, then you have to look at the dynamic of you have the Liana, Shan, Deshaun, Danny, that connection. They're all going to, in my opinion, stick together because it makes the most sense. They created such a great bond with each other. So that eliminates Danny or Deshaun for being options of going home because I think Shan and Liana will do anything to keep them safe. Then Shan has the relationship with Ricard, probably too soon to, you know, pull the trigger on Ricard. So then you're really limited to it either coming down to Nasir, Sydney, or Evie. And the guys have already said that they want to keep Nasir safe. And that's why I am so gung-ho that is definitely going to be Sydney or Evie gone. What will be interesting to see, because I have to say, Sydney's a little bit of a challenge beast. I think I could see her winning this immunity challenge. So that's why I think we could see Evie really in a tough situation if Sydney wins that individual immunity.
One other scenario I do want to consider in this whole thing. Before this episode, I think before like the events of the last episode, I think Shannon is more likely willing to stick her neck on the line for Ricard. I don't think that's the case anymore. I think she wants to keep Ricard around, but also is like, you know what? I'm done fighting for you to stay in the game. Because like she said, she fought to keep him over with Brad, with Jeannie, with JD. I don't think she's going to make that mistake. Not mistake, but I don't think she's going to do that again in the case of letting her get burned. So I definitely think Ricard's actually an option to go home. But I still think Sydney's the most likely. But if she wins immunity, for example, I think Ricard's in trouble. And I also think Nasir could be in trouble. Because we heard Liana saying, you know what, maybe I need to take Nasir's idol. She pulls the stupid knowledge is power thing, takes Nasir's idol and votes. And then at that point, with him being powerless, everyone might be like, you know what, Nasir's a beast. Let's get rid of him now. And that would be, obviously, that's doomsday. I think that's complete doomsday. But could it happen?
I want to see your take on this, though.
Yeah.
Do you think it's too early for Liana to play that advantage on that first vote of the merge, because I think she should keep it a little bit longer.
Oh, I agree. She should keep it. But will she is the question.
Yeah. I think she'll keep it because right now I think she's going to feel safe because you guys, remember, I don't think they've named themselves yet. So I'm going to call them Cookout Number Two. So
I've heard them called the camp out on Twitter.
Feeling pretty good. Oh, we're calling the camp out? Okay.
It's not official, but that's the name I've heard, which I like. I think it's a cool name.
All right, let's go with the camp out because I like that. I like that. What I worry about, because remember, they have that in common. And then you've got these three guys, strong guys, Nasir, Danny, who am I leaving out? Help me out here.
Deshaun.
Who am I leaving out? Deshaun. Okay. And that's where, again, I come back to Ricard being in trouble because he's so unique. His character is so unique and he's so wonderful, but he's not like Danny and Deshaun and Nasir. He's not like that. He doesn't fit probably what they're used to being around. And now those three, they're going to pull in Liana and Shan. I think Shan's going to cut Ricard pretty soon because Shan knows that Ricard knows how hard she plays. So again, Alex, when you said Ricard could be in trouble, yes, he could. Yes, he could for those reasons that I was just mentioning. But we've also forgot to talk about Xander because I keep Xander around for sure because Xander just seems like he's just happy to be there. And as far as strategy and everything, and I could have this totally wrong, he doesn't seem as an intense strategist as some of these players are. He seems like one you could keep next to you, and he'd be one to have in your alliance.
I know you disagree.
Yeah, I've said it for a while. I agree with you. I think Nasir has that quality of like being very happy-go-lucky, and I think he genuinely is. But I also think I've said this a while. I think he's got that instinct in him. I think he could be the person he might want to like start playing in a little bit and really like start making deals and making allies. But this actually brings me up to another, probably one of my favorite moments of the episode besides the camp up being formed, is this little alliance between Nasir and Xander, which I am rooting for so hard, and I want to see them go far. I love when Nasir said to him, like, I've got your back, bro. Because I think they both, despite being so different, obviously, like their upbringing, age, everything, I think they're so similar in the way they play the game, in that they're both physical threats. They both can win challenges. They're both very good at surviving. And I think they're both just very happy to be there, happy-go-lucky. Everybody likes them, but I both think they want to play the game and they really want to do well, and I think that could give them that little bit of a strategic edge. And they both have an idol at this point.
Well, and they both know that, obviously. Yeah. And I do think Nasir said that to Xander, though, because Nasir is assuming that Xander's on the chopping block because, realistically, that group is supposed to be going to Tribal Council. Xander hit the nail on the head saying, this might be a perfect time for them to take me out because I am the only guy that is eligible to go home on this vote. So I really think that relationship is going to be interesting to watch going forward because once they find out if the roles are reversed, we'll see how close Xander actually feels to Nasir because Nasir was the one pushing that relationship, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think they've got something. I really hope they've got something too. But T-Bird, how far do you think this duo could go, if at all?
Then you talk about Nasir and Xander?
Yeah. Yep. Do you think they have it in them? No. Okay.
No, I don't. And by the way, I love both of them. And I love that they're so happy to be out there. They're so happy to be playing. And I think sometimes you'll see, and we've seen it, I know we've seen it so far if I look back, people that seem like they're just happy to be out there and being part of the cast. And then we see some of these that nothing but winning will make their journey 100% complete. And Xander, for me, feels that way. Nasir feels that way for me. And again, don't get me wrong. I love them both. It's kind of like Erica. I'm telling you three that I absolutely adore.
T-Bird, you love the whole cast.
But they seem... I do love this cast. But Alex, I see the difference of to win this game sometimes, not all the time, unless, again, like Ethan kind of changes this up, playing behind somebody that's really strong and really a threat, but really a good, really good at competitions like Lex was. And I just don't know that, you know, I just feel like strategy-wise, they're not like a Shan or a Ricard or, you know, let me look through that really got this game dialed in and know what they have to do to get to the end. I hope I'm wrong with those three because I really, you know, I really like them. You know I did a RHAP with Rob for this season, and I kept talking about how much I love those players, Nasir and Erica. So I absolutely hope I'm wrong.
Yeah.
At this point, are you both good to take a quick little commercial break and then we can come back and discuss what we think the rest of the season's going to look like?
All right. Are we live? Are we still live, yeah. Alex and Lauren?
Yeah, we're just going to take a quick little break. All right.
Alex, I don't have
autumn is in the air. Longer. Pumpkins are in the patch. And our friends at Manscaped are here to make sure you don't carve your pants so pumpkins when you're grooming, like if you know what I'm saying. Make sure you're keeping things fresh this fall with the leaders in male grooming and their brand new fourth generation performance package. Boys, get ready for cuffing season like no other. Ready to take the leap into fall with Manscaped? Join the 2 million men worldwide using Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20%
off. Once this is over, if you just need to, we can wrap up
Survivor.
Once this is over with you. We can keep going.
I have had my fair share of mishaps in the past. And going into Halloween, the guys like to dress scary. The girls like to dress inviting. And as a result, you're bound to get your pants down if you do things right. Well, you don't want a big bush down there. You want those things freshly trimmed, shaved so perfectly. Don't use a razor. Go to Manscaped. It's the only way, or you will not be getting treats, but only tricks.
It's time to bundle up with the Manscaped Performance Package 4.0. Inside this package, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, Weed Whacker Ear and Nose Hair Trimmer, Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant, Crop Reviver Toner, Performance Boxer Briefs, and a travel bag to hold your goodies.
First off, the new Performance Package 4.0 includes the new Lawnmower 4.0. And if you're looking to cozy up this fall, this trimmer is essential.
Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology. It also gives you the ability to turn a 4000 LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave, plus it's waterproof.
I hate shaving in the dark. That 4000 LED spotlight, perfect. But the Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Weed Whacker to chop your worst weeds up top in your nose and ear. So you use the Lawnmower 4.0 for your rear, use this for your ear. This nose and hair trimmer uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system to provide proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps against nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes.
Seal the deal with Manscaped's liquid formulations. The Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant. Everyone knows pumpkin spice lattes and ball deodorant go hand in hand.
That's all they're talking about at Target these days. It's crazy. Then after trimming the pumpkin patch and whacking the leaves, give your balls a boost and use the Crop Reviver. Manscaped even threw in two free gifts to their Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped Boxers and Shed Travel Bag. You see me on the road, I have the Manscaped Shed Travel Bag with me everywhere I go. Get comfy on the home and on the go this season.
So get 20% off and free shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. Make your balls a priority this fall. Choose Manscaped. Your balls will thank you.
Promo code SURVIVOR. I've been trying to cut down on carbs, sugar, and unhealthy food, and realize I basically can't eat anything anymore. I mean, I used to love eating that delicious cereal, but I can't. But wait, I can, thanks to Magic Spoon.
0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. That's only 140 calories a serving.
It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, and low-carb. Plus, build your own box. Available flavors to build your very own custom bundle are cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, blueberry, cinnamon, cookies and cream, and my new favorite, maple waffle.
Magic Spoon just recently brought back 2 super popular flavors, cookies and cream and maple waffle, just like you're talking about, Johnny, permanently. When these flavors were first introduced for a limited time, they sold out extremely quickly. You should make sure to get these again and try them for the first time. They're delicious and indulgent.
Every morning I wake up, I look into my cabinets. All I have is Magic Spoon cereal. I have all the options. And I'll do a little bit of I'll mix some cookies of cream with a little cinnamon, maybe cocoa and peanut butter. But oh man, that maple waffle just by itself is just something so spectacular. Hey, they're perfect not only for breakfast, but that guiltless midnight snack.
So go to magicspoon.com/survivor to grab a custom bundle of cereal and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code SURVIVOR at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked.
Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/survivor and use promo code SURVIVOR to save $5 off. And thank you to Magic Spoon for sponsoring this podcast.
T-Bird, you couldn't have had better timing because we are back. One thing I think we didn't...
Hey, here I am.
Yes. One thing we didn't touch on this episode two things that I thought were really interesting. One, one thing I didn't even catch the first time, and then I found out on Twitter how important it was Tiffany's proclamation, you could say, when their little group got rice, which I'm not going to say the phrase in Hebrew because I would probably botch it, but it translates to thank God. And I think I saw a lot of Survivor fans who I didn't even know were Survivor fans come out of the woodwork and be like, this really meant a lot to me. And I think in an episode where we saw so much like representation in really, really good ways and people feeling, I almost want to say included, like fans at home feel represented for like the first time. I think that was a really nice moment that I just want to touch on. I don't know. Tiber, what did you think about that moment, and what do you think about Tiffany as a whole?
Oh well, you know it's funny when we just now, you know, took the little break. I was thinking, God, we haven't talked or mentioned at all Tiffany or Heather. And yes,
that's what
I love that these players are so diverse and so unique that I think everybody can find a little something in their stories or in their backgrounds. That's powerful. That's really neat stuff. So, you know, Tiffany doing that, I mean, whatever you take from, I mean, every one of these players, which is why I love too when they do a little backstory or go back. I mean, even watching Heather, you know, she's the oldest one out there. She's 52. And, you know, watching her struggle with the challenges and seeing the support. I mean, I think that we can all relate to somebody out there in some unique way, and it pulls us in closer to them. So, you know, I think that's a good thing. Hey, Alex, I got to tell you, I'm getting ready to lose you guys. My battery's going down. It just jumped up. And when it decides it's going, it's gone. So let me tell you, so I love that.
Just wonder what, yeah, whatever thoughts you have, go for it.
Okay. So first I want to say before my iPad here decides it's had enough is thank y'all so much for having me. you know, I can't think of anything more that I love talking about other than Survivor. Maybe the Atlanta Braves right now for every reason in the world. But, you know, again, I'm so happy that Survivor's back on, even though we're going to see it for 26 days and that might be something, the standard for the future. I'm just so glad it's back. It's great to hear everybody talking about it, whether good, bad, or indifferent, because the chatter is always so fun and wonderful. Even talking with you, Lauren, and Alex, and Lauren, you're saying, well, I don't agree. And that's the fun part of it. You know, that's the office water cooler talk that brings us all together on, you know, Thursdays after Wednesday night. So it's really a neat thing. So glad it's back on. So now let me say, I think I got to say who I think is going to be voting out next week, because I think that's the way for me to end on with me jumping out. And I think I've already said, I guess I'm going to say Sydney is going to be my pick for next week. Go ahead.
All right, there you have it. So what Sydney. Sydney's T-Bird's pick.
What do you think, Rubino?
I have to agree with T-Bird. I do think it's going to be Sydney. Dark horse Ricard. I'm going to say my dark horse is Ricard, but say Sydney. What do you think, Lauren?
I think it could be. I'm going to go against both of you. I'm going to go with Evie, and we'll see.
No,
we'll see what happens. I don't. First of all, I don't want Evie to go, but I'm just saying based on what could potentially happen with this episode, I think Evie could be in trouble. But I also do want to say, T-Bird, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. You are such a delay and super fun to talk to. And it's been great getting your perspective on the season thus far. So we appreciate you so much.
We love you, T-Bird. Thank you so much. And
thank you, Lauren.
Alex, as a huge baseball fan,
thank you for staying after me. Thank you for staying after me, Alex, as we tried to make this happen and the time has just been off. And I know this was a last minute, so thank y'all so much for accommodating me for this. And so, Alex, let me tell you this big thing, because you're watching the game tonight, in case you don't know this. So, you know, Lauren, are you watching the game?
Absolutely. I'm a huge sports fan.
Are you a baseball fan? It's okay to not.
We're both Yankees fans.
What's Yankees fans.
I can't even see it.
Oh, this is a New York Giants hat. Okay. So I'm New York.
You're New York. Okay, so you're like Rob C. Rob Cesternino.
No, Rob's a Jets fan.
Rob is Jets. I am Giants.
Yeah, we're both Yankees. We're both Yankees fans too. Rob always says I'm a good friend for a Yankee fan.
Okay, perfect. But let's tell you, this is a pretty neat thing. So the head coach of the Atlanta Braves is Brian Snicker. And I've known Brian and his wife, Ronnie, for many, many years, many, many years. And they're playing the Houston Astros. And this is a very cool thing. Their son is the batting coach for the Houston Astros. So we've got father and son in the World Series together. Is a super awesome thing. So, Alex, when you're watching it tonight, you can know Brian Snicker's the head coach. His son, Troy, is the batting coach, one of the two batting coaches for the Houston Astros. So for the Snicker family, it's a win. It's going to be a win-win.
Yes. But I think Lauren and I are both rooting with you for the Braves. His son will get his time later. But that's so cool. I'm also just kind of jealous that you are friends with the manager of the Atlanta Braves, who are hopefully about to win a World Series. I don't want to hedge my bets. But yeah, I'm so excited for you. I mean, when the Braves won the NLCS, I texted you. I was like, oh my God, T-Bird's probably losing her mind right now. And I was right. I'm just so glad you're enjoying all this.
Alex, my husband and I were at that game.
At
that game when they clinched. That was like so cool. So of course, we're not going to any of the World Series games because I have to sell one of my children, maybe both of my children, to be able to afford the tickets. So we're going to be, you know, we're watching it at home as a family with, you know, with our friends and everything. So anyway.
I love that. I love it. The only way it would be better is if the Yankees were playing the Braves, but you know what? We'll get there eventually. Yes.
All right.
T-Bird, you're a shining star.
I just said, thank you so much. I appreciate y'all very much for having me. Thank you.
We love you, T-Bird. Thank you again.
Much love, T-Bird.
All right, take care.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye.
There you have it. Yeah. Lauren, we just talked to T-Bird.
Listen, T-Bird is iconic, super fun to chat with. And I was just excited we got a little bit of T-Bird on this podcast. And I hope that T-Bird will come back and join us sometime, if not this season, next season. But I do want to touch on Tiffany real quick, because that's like the last little piece that I want to talk about a little bit more that we didn't get to talk about.
Do it, Pratt. And let's go.
Here's the thing with Tiffany. I think Tiffany, and I said it a couple podcasts ago, loose cannon all the way, because yes. I could see it in her eyes, the frustration that Liana did not tell her anything about the advantage. And that goes back to Shan. Shan says it in front of Tiffany with Liana there. And I'm sitting myself, oh my gosh, what is happening? Because Liana was going to tell Shan regardless, probably, about what it was.
Oh, yeah.
But you can't tell Tiffany, who was just going to go nutso.
Yeah.
Because if you're not loyal to Tiffany and she finds out about it, she's done with you. And you can just see it.
Yeah. Listen, I love Shan. I've sung her praises of how good she is at the game. Come on. Really, I get it's like, you don't know who Tiffany is. Why are you bringing this up to her? You have no idea who Tiffany is. She's like, oh, so about that advantage. It's like, listen, I get maybe you want to maybe put the target on Liana over yourself. I get if you're going for that, but not this early. It just doesn't make total sense to me, especially for Shan. She'd be in an even better position if she was the only one who knew about Liana's advantage besides her, I think. But
yeah, because Tiffany thought it was the advantage that everyone else had been getting. And really, Liana's in a position where she can't lie about that, because Shan essentially, you know, put her in a tough spot to spill the beans. But I will say, Tiffany is a great character. I am rooting for her, but I just don't know how long people are going to be able to work with her. Again, though, she's someone that will flip the script if she has to, because she's playing hard and she's there to win, clearly. So it's going to be interesting who takes the shot first, because I do think Tiffany has said to herself after what we've seen in this episode, maybe I need to rework some of my allies because I'm not sure if they're as close to me as I thought.
Yeah. One thing though, I don't know how Liana could have done it per se, but I think Liana could have at least told Tiffany, hey, it was an extra vote like everybody else got. Or something to that effect, because in Survivor, you can lie and like use production as a strategy, saying, hey, they just gave me an extra vote, and you'd be fine. Big Brother, you can't do that. I'm curious, and I get maybe she just didn't want to because she's like, maybe I can salvage something with Tiffany, but I don't know. What did you think about this? Because obviously it's a blunder on Shan's part. Partially thinking Liana could have maybe played this better too. What say you?
I just think it's tough because look how Tiffany came at Liana when they were walking down to go to the water. And Liana's saying to herself, whoa, like that is too much right now, because Tiffany, jump in the gun. So what's the advantage? And I think that flustered Liana just a little bit, where she couldn't fully get her story straight if she indeed wanted to lie about what it was. I just think she had no way to get out.
Yeah.
Just put in a tough spot, where I think in that moment, Liana just said, you know what, I'm just going to tell her, because at the end of the day, I do think Tiffany is going to turn against them. Now, will she be successful in doing so? Maybe, maybe not. But I do think what is beneficial right now is that duo with Shan and Liana at the moment. But as we've said before, Shan does a really good job emotionally connecting with people. And I don't think those two intend to go deep within the game.
No, but I am curious, if they both can make it a little while, how they either butt heads with each other or don't. And where do Evie and Xander play into this? Because obviously Tiffany's had the iffy relationship with Xander, lying about the beware advantage earlier. And I think Evie is like playing like somewhat close to Xander, but obviously says her number one alliance was with the girls, and how that all shakes it. Because I think that foursome before were interesting when it was just the four of them on their own. Now that they're at the merge, whatever the hell this is even more interesting. And I don't know, because I think Tiffany can make some waves in this game for sure. Is she winning? I don't know. But I don't know. I just, she's a force to be reckoned with, clearly. And I'm excited. I'm just excited to see, because it's great entertainment.
You know what, Alliance, I do think sits in the best position going into next episode. The alliance of Shan, Liana, Deshaun, and Danny.
The camp out. Yep, I agree with you there.
The reason being is because I think they have each other's back in so many different directions, because they have relationships with every single person that is out on the island. So they're going to know exactly where the boat's going. And if they need to steer the boat in a different direction, I think those four together as a solid unit and a block are going to be able to pull it off. Do I think that they are going to all last with each other all the way to the final four? No, I do not. It would be great to see if they were able to pull it off, but I do think some of them are super, super savvy and are going to say to themselves, you know what? This alliance was great, but I'm going to look out for me, and I think I can win the game by going with this group of people. And so I'm just going to say, I think they work together for the short term, but not the long term.
I agree with you there. I think what's interesting to see with this group is obviously the four of them are really good strategically. They've got, like you said, connections to everybody. I think it's just so powerful. My concern is how they placate those connections and how do they not only prioritize those relationships with the relationships they have in this new cookout or campout, whatever you want to call it, but also at what point does each person say, you know what, one of them is more important than the other. And I'm just really excited to see it. Obviously, like, the history being made is cool, and seeing another all-black alliance is awesome, and seeing them bond in this way is so cool. But it's more interesting to see, can they do what was done in Big Brother successfully?
Right, because right now we don't see any other four solid people together at the moment. And we could have with Lugu if those six decided that they wanted to stick together, but that is absolutely never going to happen. That group is crumbling quicker than I've ever seen. And I think it's simply because they didn't get a chance to vote anyone out. So then they don't know where anyone actually stands within the tribe. People feel that they're on the bottom, like Erica does, knows that it could be potentially coming her way. But I think the biggest thing is, if you have a solid alliance that you know you can count on to shift the vote the way you want the vote to go, that is critical, especially at the merge, because merge votes shape the rest of the game in some seasons. And that's why this is going to be very, very interesting to see how it all plays out.
Yeah, the comparison I can make with Luvu is to Tandang in Philippines. And I think the season has a lot of comparisons to Philippines. The reason being, Tandang stayed intact the whole time. Sure, they added Malcolm, but they stayed intact as that group. Didn't go to tribal, but they were just all at each other's throats, basically. And the minute they could vote each other out, they were like, just let's go. It's almost, let's cannibalize. And they took each other out pretty much one by one, with the exception of you know who. And I really think this could happen with this group. I think, yeah, sure. Maybe this vote, they get rid of Sydney. Or even if they don't, the next vote, once the game is a bit more normalized per se, I just think they're gonna, like, you know what, I'm done. Someone is gonna cut somebody. I don't know who, but I'm really excited to see it play out, because I think they're, like you said, they're a dysfunctional mess, and now the gloves are finally off.
Right, but work with the dysfunctional mess to get you through at least one or two votes, and then you can splinter. Because sure, if you come in with a solid six, and yeah, realistically the other six could come together and vote with each other as well. But is that going to necessarily happen if you have been together on a tribe the entire season thus far? Just go in, and Nasir was saying, let's just stick together for the first couple rounds at least. And then from there, everyone go play your own game. That's fine. I think they're making the poor choice by not sticking together for at least the first vote, because clip someone out that is a huge target, a big threat, because you have that solid block and you don't know if all of those other six people are going to come in unison and work together on the vote.
Yeah. What's interesting to me is, so that group of four, you have Dan and Deshaun from Luvu, and they have that like Luvu group in tech, and Chan and Liana are from that other group, the Uwa and Yasa group of six. Obviously, I don't think it's not 6v6. It doesn't look like that, at least. But it is interesting when it comes down to that group with it's Danny and Deshaun, who are both now going to be going to Tribal, we assume. I'm really curious how they want to play. Either they're likely going to try to say, hey, let's get rid of somebody from Ur Yasa. And I think Liana and Shan could be playing the reverse of that. And I'm interested to see if, maybe not at this point, but at any point in the season, do they butt heads with that of, hey, I want to keep my person in the game.
I think Danny and Deshaun could get their way. And that's why I haven't completely said that I think Sydney's totally toast, because Sydney is aligned with Danny and Deshaun. And I think that they might be able to have their way on this vote, because the smartest thing to do sometimes is go along with it, note it in your mind, and then just see what happens from there. Because if you go off in too many different directions and then you aren't cohesive with each other, then people start to distrust. And I think if Danny and Deshaun like go to Shan and Liana and say, listen, can we just not vote this direction? I think Liana and Shan will go along with it for the time being, but that won't be like every decision in the future. I think for this vote, they would maybe do it.
What's interesting though to me is if Danny and Deshaun say that, all right, so we don't want to get rid of Sydney or Nasir. All right, who's left? Evie, who's pretty much Liana's number one ally. Ricard, who is, splintered, but still Shan's number one ally, at least at this point. That leaves, obviously, that rules out everybody. Who's going to budge? And in this instance, I think it could be Shan budging and maybe saying, you know what, I'd rather you not take out Ricard, but if you want, go ahead. And that is really interesting to me, because that's where I think we could be Ricard or Sydney, depending on who really gets their way out of that foursome.
Realistically, the three people are on the table would be Sydney, Ricard, and Evie, in my opinion. We could be surprised, and I like to be shocked in Survivor, so we'll see what happens. But at the end of the day, I think going in, and I will be actually, the biggest surprise of the episode will be if Erica does not smash. If Erica doesn't smash, then I will sit there saying to myself, well, I'm completely wrong in my analysis thus far.
Oh, we're all wrong.
And that'll just change the entire dynamic of this game. And I would be totally here for it if she doesn't take it, because that would be hilarious in my opinion. But the three people that are in trouble, Ricard, Evie, and Sydney, and I don't think it could be anyone else unless Liana wants to do something crafty with the Nasir situation. But I just don't think she wants to pull that trigger now. I would keep that advantage in my pocket just a little bit longer.
I agree with you there. I don't think Liana maybe wants to use her advantage to get Nasir out. But I think something interesting those two could pitch is, hey, we don't want to get rid of Ricard or Evie. And then it's like, Dan and Deshaun, I think maybe more likely, there's an argument you can make of they want to have Sydney with them longer. It's like, all right, pick which one you think you'd want to get rid of. And they might pick Nasir over Sydney for his threat level. I don't think they maybe would. But I think it's a possibility, because they've been aligned with Sydney longer than they've been aligned with Nasir. Yeah. So I just think anybody that's not Danny or Deshaun, I think, are vulnerable. And you know what? For a merge vote where it's only going to be 5 of the 12 people eligible, I'm still pretty excited. I don't know about you. But yeah, you got to love the merge, even if it's chaotic. Yeah. And even if production wants to throw 3,000 different twists out there, it's still the merge at the end of the day. We get 2 hours of the merge, which I think is a bonus. Even though, yeah, I'm not going to love whoever is voted out getting screwed over, because we're going to say that they were safe and then they weren't. So they are getting screwed. But that's the game, unfortunately. I just kind of hope they make jury. But we'll see. I don't know. Lauren, do you have any more thoughts about this episode?
That's all I have. I think we really dug deep into this entire episode. It was great being able to talk to T-Bird while she was able to last, but I'm glad that we had this little analysis at the end, because I do think this next vote is going to be very, very interesting, and that's exactly what you want in a merge vote. You don't want anything that is predictable, and this season is anything but that.
100%. Thank you so much, Lauren.
Yeah, of course. So we'll just wrap this up here. Again, Alex, thank you so much for joining me on the deep dive. This was a really fun episode to talk about. And everyone else, be sure to check out all the content that we have here at Reality NSFW. Like and subscribe to the YouTube channel. We have the challenge coverage going on. And then Wednesdays after the Survivor episode, you will hear a combination of Alex Trias, Matt Bischoff, and the great Johnny Fairplay. So be sure to check out all of their coverage that we have going on there. And if you like what we're doing over here, become a patron at adfreensfw.com. Matt and Johnny are currently covering Australian Survivor for the patron group. They talk about one episode per week. It's been really great to follow along, any of you Australian fans out there. And then also the weekly Q&A, which they will literally answer any question that you have as a patron. And there is nothing off limits in their opinion. So if you want to become a patron, again, it's adfreensfw.com. And with that, that's all I have, everyone. So you guys take care. Have a good night. Bye.
Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck.
Researched and developed for 3 years to be made for people, not patients. Lucy has created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. Lucy also has a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine in cherry ice flavor. Each and every flavor actually tastes great and it's convenient and discreet. Products can be enjoyed anywhere, on flights, at work, on the go, or even in the gym.
I am so happy that Lucy is sponsoring us. Ever since they came on board, I have gotten no less than 5 of my friends transitioned over to Lucy and put their cigarettes down. They like the gum. I'm used to seeing the packages all around. This stuff is great, and it's really helping people make much healthier choices. So get on board and join the Lucy movement.
Hey, it's 2021. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal. A subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's so simple that you don't even have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down.
Reality NSFW listeners, go to lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR to get 20% off all products, including gum or lozenges. That's lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Also, I have to give this disclaimer. Warning, this product contains nicotine derived from tobacco. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. That's lucy.co, and be sure to use that promo code SURVIVOR.
This episode of Reality NSFW is sponsored by Blue Chew. Say it with us, Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom by offering chewable tablets that can help men get stronger and longer lasting erections. That's right, we're giving away super hard dicks.
Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections to combat all forms of ED.
Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor offices, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, it's all done online.
BlueChew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here. BlueChew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy.
Hey, if you're looking to give that immunity idol to someone or you don't want to be voted out of a crater, don't worry. Blue Chew's got you covered. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform,
Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information.
And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's Blue Chew, BlueChew.com, promo code SURVIVOR to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.